So last week with the celebration service, we skipped Elijah for a second, but today we're back in our series on the book of Elijah, or the life of Elijah, not the book. We don't have one of those. The life of Elijah. So I like to cook. I'm not good, but I like to cook. Because it's something that I can do, and when I'm done, I can say, oh, I did that. And whether it's good or bad, I did that. It's kind of fun to see that. So I try all kinds of stuff, but there's one thing that I really would like to make, or have always wanted to like to make, is crepes. I love a crepe. And my wife, Elsie, makes the most beautiful crepes, but she's this amazing woman. She just takes the stuff, and then she starts mixing it together and doing it, and then the next thing, there's these crepes. And I'm saying, how do you do that, Elsie? And she says, no, it's just all up there. And I'm saying, will you teach me how to do that? Because I'd like to make crepes for you one day. So Elsie says, okay, let's get this, get that, get this. And I think, man, there's a lot of strange stuff. Why would you need that? Why would you need this? And then she says, do this, put a little pinch of this. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a mess. This is really just not going to work. So at last we got the stuff ready. And I'm ready to make my crepes. And boy, were they beautiful. Why? Because I listened to Elsie. I followed her instructions and did, although for me it looked like not going to work. This is not the right thing to do. But it worked out perfectly because I listened and took her word. Would we do that with God, right? Just trust in God with childlike faith. I mean, He knows so much more than we do, right? He knows the recipe, but even more than that, He made the ingredients. And if God promises an outcome, it will happen. It always has. So what God expects of us is as we walk with God and follow God, that I would have, and isn't this the theme of Elijah, that I would have a steadfast faith in the promises of God. Elijah did. Elijah chose to believe the promise over the circumstances or the problems or the predicament or the trouble, whatever you want to say. And we're going to unpack that this morning. Believing the promise over the predicament or the circumstance. The predicament right now was, and you remember this started in chapter 17 when Elijah came on the scene. He walked into the palace with Ahab and Jezebel and he says, you've turned your back on God. You're worshiping these idols of Baal and Asherah, thinking they're going to give you rain. They're going to make everything fruitful. So I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. God's going to bring a drought. It's not going to rain until I say so again. In other words, until God decides it's not going to rain. And it didn't. It's been 3 years now when we meet him today. 3 years. No rain. Animals are dying. The earth is scorched and there's nothing that comes from that. People are suffering. There's the situation. The predicament. The circumstance. But then comes the promise. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab. And now look, here comes the promise. Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. Predicament, drought, promise. I will send rain on the land. So God declares the drought. God is the one who now declares that the drought is going to be over. But I want you to notice a few things in this moment. So there's the situation and there's the promise. Elijah does not start running around trying to do the Elijah thing to change God so that God can bring the rain. Elijah waits for God to hear the word from God saying, I'm going to send the rain before Elijah says there's going to be rain. Did you hear that? He waits for God to make the promise despite the circumstance. He doesn't get anxious. He doesn't start running around. He doesn't cut himself like the Baal prophets did with themselves. He waits for God because Elijah knows the circumstance is only temporary. Will you hear that? The circumstance is only temporary. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. Animals are dying. People are suffering. Lives are struggling. Of course it's hard. In your own life, it's going to be hard. No question. Is it going to teach them something? For them, it's definitely teaching them something. They said, Baal can make the rain. Asherah can bring life. And God said, not on your life. If I close the heavens, it is closed. Sometimes the circumstances are not that cool. And they're not that easy. But we learn. We learn the song maybe we sang this morning. There is another in the fire. There is another in the water with me. It's just a matter of time. Do you know that too? Do you know that there's a timer on your troubles? And the timer will expire? Do you know that slowly but surely God is making true all of the promises that God made for you in your life, and they will happen. They will come true if only I am prepared like Elijah to trust in the promise and to hold on to the promise that God made. Maybe that's all you needed to hear this morning. But can I plead with you for something? Please don't ever mistake the presence of trouble and struggle in your life for the absence of God in your life. The presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. Look at Elijah. God makes the promise. He says, go to Ahab. I know it's scary. I know last time they said they're going to kill you. Go. And then you tell him, here's my promise. I'm going to send rain. Look at what Elijah does. We're going to go to verse 41 because the rest of that is about him killing those guys on the Baal prophets. And we're not going to go to the killing of the prophets today. We're doing the story of the rain. So he went to him. He said, I'll send rain. Verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. Can I just ask you a question? How did Elijah know that there's the sound of heavy rain? Did he hear the thunder? Did he see the lightning? Did he feel the wind? Don't answer. Don't answer yet, because you might get it wrong. Let's read the next few verses. Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's the sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah, he climbed up on top of Carmel. Carmel is right on the Mediterranean Sea, Mount Carmel. And he bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. That was a position of prayer. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. He went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. How did he know that there was the sound of heavy rain? Because all he and the servant saw was the old carpenter song. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eye. That's all he saw. Blue skies, sunshine. There was no thunder. There was no lightning. There were no clouds. There was nothing. And yet Elijah says, I hear the sound of heavy rain. Maybe we need to read the Hebrew to understand what happened. Kimberly, here it comes. The word for sound in Hebrew is the word kol. The word for voice in Hebrew is the word kol. It is exactly the same word. What did Elijah hear? Elijah heard the voice of God with the promise saying, I will send rain. There was no cloud. There was nothing else. There was blue skies. But Elijah heard the voice of God and the promise of God. He had a choice. He had a choice. He could look at the circumstances, or he could look at the promise. Circumstances says, there's no cloud, it's blue sky, there's no thunder, it's not going to rain. It's never going to rain. It's going to be stuck in the drought. But the promise of God, the same God who took care of Elijah in Kereth Ravine, the same God who took him to Zarephath and took care of him in Zarephath, the same God who, the piece that we didn't read, who took care of him on Mount Carmel, that same God says, Elijah, get yourself a raincoat and get yourself an umbrella because, brother, it's going to rain. And Elijah chose to believe the promise over the circumstance, the voice over the blue skies. And you? And you? Because in this week and in the weeks that come, we're going to face them. Circumstance, promise. What are you going to choose? You might be struggling with guilt and regret. And the circumstance says, you're lost, you're a failure, you're a flop. But the promise says, and can I just take one, because you can go find a gazillion of those in God's word. The promise of God says, Paul, Romans, chapter 7, 8. Chapter 7, Paul paints this picture of himself. Says, I'm a sinner. Look at me. I'm just a mess. Who will save me from this horrible life? And then chapter 8, he says that beautiful promise. I thank God in Jesus Christ, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Which one are you going to believe? The circumstance or God's promise? Maybe you're struggling with temptation or addiction or compulsive buying or overeating, or and you feel that you're caught in this thing and you just can't get out, and that's what the circumstance says. And then the promises of God come, and can I just take one, just random again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God knows all about this, and God is faithful, and He will make a way out for you. Will you trust the promise over the circumstance? But to do that, we need to listen and respond. We need to hear that voice, because that's the place where God's children need to be, like Elijah, on my knees. Listening. And yes, I told you about audacious prayers 2 weeks ago, and I said, you can storm the gates of heaven. But I also said there are moments in which we just go quiet so that God can speak and I can listen and hear what God is promising. Just be quiet, because we have a promise-making God and a promise-keeping God. And how do we respond? In prayer. Parents, may your children walk into your bedroom often and find you on your knees before God, listening for the promise. Husbands, may your wives often, when they look for you, know to find you, where to find you, because they know how much time you spend in your prayer closet. Mothers, may generations after this talk about you, this godly woman who was always in the presence of God praying for her family and her children. Leaders, may you be on your knees more than anything else to lead in kindness and in grace. But you see, here's the thing. Prayer is the key that opens the treasure chest called promise. The promise does not take the place of prayer but it guides prayer. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. When we pray, we're not talking to an unwilling God, trying to convince him to do something that he doesn't want to do. When you and I pray, we partner with God, a God who wants to bless you, a God who wants to love you, a God who wants to take care of you. Prayer is where it all starts. So look how it ends. So seven times Elijah said, go back. And he went back. And every time there's nothing. But the seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose and a heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. And the power of the Lord, actually in Hebrew it says, the Yad Yahweh, the hand of the Lord, came upon Elijah. And tucking his coat into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. He prays, and then he walks in faith. Faith that trusts the promise, because boy, he looks and he says, oh yeah, I see a cloud as big as the hand of a man there. And Elijah says, I'm going to trust that promise. That might have just been a little bit of dust. I'm going to trust that promise. It's only a little cloud, but it's God's cloud. And when I walk in steadfast faith, that little cloud can become something that, Ahab, hit your chariot. That thing doesn't have 4x4. You're going to get stuck in the mud. Get out of here and go to Jezreel, because God's bringing rain like you've never seen before. But it's only a cloud this big, really. It's God's cloud. It's God's promise. And I can trust the promise over the circumstances. Skies might be blue and no clouds, and God can bring the rain. So can I challenge you for this week, and maybe longer than this week? Will you trust God? Will you take the promise, believe that, over the circumstance? I know you're presbies. Let's do a little something. If you are prepared to do that, why don't you put your hand up for a second so God can see you? Will you promise? Will you take the promise over the circumstances? May God bless you as you do that. Father, thank you that we trust you. You made a promise that you are going to take care of us, and we messed it up so badly. And then you sent your son, because that's your promise. I love you, and I will take care of you. You made a promise. When I leave this world, I will not leave you alone as orphans. I will send you one just like me. And your Holy Spirit came, and your Holy Spirit lives in us, through us. We'll celebrate that next week. Thank you. You made the promise that Jesus had come into this world to seek and to save. And you do that. You made the promise. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I am with you. And then you made that amazing promise, Lord, that we long for. I will come again on the clouds. Take you to be with me. Thank you. Thank you for being a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. We love you, Lord, as we pray in Jesus. Amen.